Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 197 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Namalie.
Hello.
And this week, we have a bunch more alpha stuff to talk about. We have a lot of system stuff, some crafting stuff, like a lot of like raid consumables and enchants and embellishments and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There were also pretty big changes to Windwalker. I think my understanding is Serenity, like the cooldown is gone.
Yeah.
Along with some other changes. So some pretty big stuff going on for them. Not as much for Brewmaster and Mistweaver yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe we'll get some for the rest of us soon, because I know very little about Windwalker.
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, before we dive into that, how was raid this week, Adam?
Raid went much better. I'll say, than last week. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just content's newer, you know, more people are, everybody got more gear. So we still did our normal heroic clear into normal clear, then into mythic. And ended up doing decently well, I'll say. Basically got through all of normal and heroic in, I think, roughly 2-ish hours.
Nice.
And then got 3 down on mythic before calling it a night. So we got Kazara, Amalgamation Chamber, and
Forgotten Experiments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Forgotten Experiments, fun without Mass Dispel. So the spells were, I mean, they were just a little bit all over the place. But with our damage now, like we pushed fast enough that like we ended up, I think, only with like 3 debuffs out.
Yeah, that's where we ended up to is 3 debuffs, I believe.
So that was a solid raid night. I actually, to be fair, don't mind Abyrus. Like we did heroic Neltharion. Like basically what we ended up doing was using the skip. So went to Neltharion and then heroic Sark first and then back here from there. Neltharion, very different. You have like the hearts are a joke to deal with. Even on mythic, they're a joke. And then the final phase thing is somehow so much easier in terms of like the timing, like, and everything. So
they over doubled the cast time on Ebon Destruction from like 5 seconds to 12 seconds. We also, like, I made a weak aura. So apparently this debuff existed in season 2 when Abyrus was new. Mm-hmm. And just nobody used it because everybody used the map. Yeah. But there's a red, like when you walk into a portal, you get a blue or a red debuff. The blue mm-hmm. debuff means you're safe. The red debuff means you're not.
Oh, okay.
So I made this a weak aura that like basically says safe, not safe, or find another portal, depending on like if you have the blue one, you're safe. If you don't have any, you're not safe. And if you have the red one, you have to find another portal because you're not safe.
Gotcha. So, yeah. No, I mean, we went in. So then on Thursday we go in and we wiped to Echo on mythic once.
Yeah.
And then killed it and like crushed it. I think we had one wipe to Rashok because somebody new forgot about the mythic mechanic of using the leap to clear one of those stupid the orb thing that spawns or whatever the void zone that spawns. So we wiped once to that. But to be fair, honestly, the worst part of this our raid week this week was Tyndrel going. Yeah. So we were still back clearing for mounts. We had 8 wipes on Tyndrel, which was, we have so much gear now that we ended up, so the ended up number one still lusting, but we would push on percentage in P1 like before the second like root clear.
Yeah.
But then because we'd push so fast, like everything else cooldown wise was
messed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done healing cooldowns for the like non faded immune drizzle. I'm just not going to. Like just have the gear. We're just you push buttons and we will stay alive. We had a really good raid on Friday. Like we did normal on like Wednesday. Just like in and out 40 minutes. And then we did heroic and somebody was like, can I bring my alt on my second account to just like get crests? And we were like, well, that doesn't mean we get more loot. So sure. And then that led to the floodgates, and we ended up clearing with 30 people, but only like 23 actual players.
Nice, nice.
So I guess practice for sales right there.
Yeah.
But got through that pretty quickly, and then just like blasted Mythic. We killed both the side wings, so Kazara through experiments, through Rashok. We skipped Skarn and Magrax.
Same, yep.
And then we did Neltharion. And Neltharion, like, we wiped as many times on heroic Rashok as we did on Neltharion. Which is to say, we wiped twice on heroic Rashok. Once because somebody that hadn't done Avarice didn't take it seriously when I said don't overlap the lava puddles or it's an instant wipe. And then they overlapped the lava puddles to like troll somebody, and it actually just instantly wiped us.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then the second time was just like accidental pull.
Gotcha. That's funny.
So yeah, Echo and Neltharion, completely different fight now.
Yeah, I was, that was like going, like looking as we started the raid, I was like, this is going to be the one fight that I just don't, like, it's either, it's just going to be awful to do. Like, we don't have a map weak aura. Like, it's going to be terrible. And then the funny thing is like, we almost wiped to heroic because people still had the old weak aura and, like, old bigwigs timings.
Right.
So, like, so they would get the countdown. Out of the
portal.
Yeah. Well, they would run right away, find a portal, stay in it, and then it would count down and leave. And then they'd run out. And then the actual time you had to be in was coming up. And, like, a couple of people died just being like, the countdown said it was over. We're just like, they changed the cast time. So
the way we did it on Mythic, and I think this is just a really good way to do it across the board, is all of our immunes were used on the first Ebon Destruction so that there were more portals up for the second one to make it easier for people to find one.
Well, that's a good idea.
So we had like 25 portals up for the second one to fit 20 players. And I think we lost like one person and we just rest them.
That's not bad. So we had a pretty, our kill on Mythic was pretty clean. And then, did you spend any time on Sarkarath?
Not yet. We, after that, went and started clearing a Mirror Drasil. We got two Tendril and did not have any notes to set up for it, which is like, I'm not doing healing cooldowns, but like we didn't have flare bomb reminders and stuff like that. So like we pulled it twice and wiped twice to flare bombs.
Nice.
Once on the very first one. And then once on the very first one in phase two, because we lusted in phase one, pushed before like the big move.
Yeah.
And people were just completely thrown off by the timing. And without a reminder thing, they didn't go get their flare bomb.
That's funny. Yeah, we, for whatever reason, Tendril just like, it was to be fair, a lot of phase one wipes. I think we got to phase three, like we limped in once, had a solid, and then the two other times we got there were missed seeds. And then we eventually killed it. But like phase two was is over real quick.
Yeah, that's why we're lusting phase one, because based on the HP we were seeing, we have to do like the first set of flare bombs and like two sets of dispels, and then we push the boss out of phase two, I hope. But then the like scary bit is phase three, because we just don't have lust to make that really short.
We ended up moving, I think, let me double check on our kill, but I think we actually lusted P3.
I think that's very justifiable. Like we did
P1. We lusted the opening of P3.
So yeah, we're going to see how that goes tonight. So we're going in tonight. We're going to finish clearing the rest of Mirror Drasil, and then we're going to go back and do Sarkarath.
Nice.
And I'm looking forward to doing Sarkarath. Sarkarath is a fun fight.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that we pulled him like, I think, eight times. Didn't kill him, but pulled like eight times, and basically really only saw all of P1 and then all of P2, and like we're essentially dying in that transition where the whole raid goes down but the tank, and then you come back up. And like that first part, we just, to be fair, we didn't explain the fight. We had people on brand new roles, like I'm doing bombs now, like I've never done bombs before, so I had to figure out, like, one time I pick up the first set of bombs in P2.
Yeah.
And didn't go down fast enough. So when they dispelled the dot, it knocked me off and I died. And then there was like a puddle right in the center, like the middle.
Yeah.
So like, it's just like weird, you know, like just stuff like that, that are just sort of learning the timings. And so we'll probably, we're in no rush. Like, I think, you know, there's no point in pushing to actually get this stuff cleared right at this point.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty of time to, we'll eventually get everything killed on Mythic. We'll eventually get the whole guild portals and it'll be what it is.
Yeah.
So. But cool. Well, good luck tonight. I mean, Sarkreth is it's still a fun fight. I still like it, actually. It's still a good time all around. So, well, cool. So we had a couple of maybe week in review stuff before we get into the War Within. I wanted to go through. So first up, randomly this week, we got some mythic Razageth nerfs to the first intermission. These came in, of course. Razageth doesn't really, I guess he's still, you can still can kill it on Mythic, just not awaken Mythic.
Yeah.
Two quick changes. The Lightning Devastation, which is in intermission one, the Lightning Breath essentially across the platform, increased cast time from 3 seconds to 4 seconds. And then on the blue side, the new Mythic adds that have the shield that you need to sort of DPS and they explode. That shield size was decreased by 20%.
I'm wondering if this is just like them looking at where guilds were wiping during the first awakened week and being like, we just don't want people to be actually reprog. Like, if they're really taking the stance that like, this is not a reprog season.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I bet you will get sort of, I think micro adjustments or like small adjustments to bosses as you start to see walls. So, but I will say, I mean, like in terms of Sarkreth seemed very killable this week on Mythic. I think from my perspective, like if you had the same raid comp and group that you progressed Sarkreth on doing it this week, I think you kill it as a guild.
Yeah. Right. We don't have that. We're pretty close though. Like we have the same tank comp, very similar healing comp. We have actually people swapped around on the healing comps. Like the person who plays a paladin for us originally is now on a priest.
Yeah.
Somebody who played a Restor Druid for us is now on a paladin. And so like, there's some adjustments there, like the paladin's got to make sure they get me bopped for the transition from phase 2 to phase 3 or I die.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Nice.
So I will say the hardest boss that we've done so far, like numerically hardest boss, has probably been Rashok.
Really?
Yeah, like in terms of like the amount of healing required and the amount of like pressure on tanks and DPS. Yeah. Not in terms of like mechanics. Like we killed the boss in like two, three pulls. It was not particularly hard with the level of gear that we have. It was just like that's the one where I was like, oh, okay, that's the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I guess that's true, yeah. It's so different for me talking about these fights as a DPS versus being a healer. Cause like I don't have a battle res. I have zero responsibility other than dodge mechanics or do mechanics and do damage. So it's like, if I do those two things, I'm good. So like, I don't look at health bars. My raid frames are tucked in the corner of my UI. And like, sometimes I look over to know when I have to turtle and feign death. So I don't actually die and have to wait to get res.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a much different experience, but so I've literally, when you say that, I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense. I was like, we didn't.
Yeah. The tank mechanic is still like the magic hit is 90% of my HP is a blood DK.
Yeah.
And the physical hit is pretty big, but not as bad, but it's still like, oh, actually, I guess speaking of one last thing and then we'll continue. We broke Purgatory on Rashok this week.
Oh, really?
My co-tank died to a tank combo. Not like we didn't mess it up. It was just they weren't expecting the physical hits to be so big.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So they didn't have SI for it. And so I was like, okay, well, we're going to try and do the next one and I'll just plan to cheat on it. We have time dilation available. I have all my cooldowns up. So I just hit everything, had time dilation up. The second one hits me and... Yeah. My health bar doesn't move, but I've got Purgatory. I've got the Purgatory like debuffs and I've got the absorb shield and I hit Deathstrike a couple times and it doesn't go away. but my health also like moved. It's like it failed to give me the healing absorb.
How interesting.
And then at the end of the 4 seconds, I just died.
That's wild. That's wild.
And like that hit is supposed to be like 30 million damage or something like that.
Gotcha.
So it's something that cheat death probably shouldn't have worked on, except for the fact that we like stacked a ton of really good DRs on.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's so wild though. That's funny. God, I love this game sometimes.
Back to the news.
Yeah, so we had a couple of things come in. So Mythic Rashok nerfs, of course. And then one cool thing is Orlando Salvatore, who is one of the lead software engineers within Blizzard, gave sort of their thoughts on Plunderstorm, which is sort of a cool little Twitter thread if you want to unravel it and read through it. But essentially, you know, their point of view is that it's really cool that Blizzard was able to do this, right? Like the idea with
this
being Plunderstorm, yeah, being able to like develop it, put something in the game that we've never seen before, do something that truly really hasn't been done before. I mean, it's a separate game mode. Your characters don't cross over. It's not another expansion. It's not a classic version of the game. It's something brand new. It's a limited ability set. It's a BR. It's like abilities like level up, like basically an entirely different, like, while they had the renowned progression system, the way you progressed that system was by collecting plunder, which is sort of like, you know, a whole new thing. So I think we've talked about it, but it's cool that they put out Orlando put out sort of the tweet of being like, look, this is really cool, we're excited to keep doing things like this, and like, you know, I think it's there's a huge opportunity for this experimental team to just put out these sort of small sort of different game modes or different ways to play the game to get more people engaged in playing WoW. And maybe you get that crossover, someone who's like, I don't really want to try and play WoW, but I'll play this Plunderstorm thing. They enjoy it and they're like, well, let me check out what the actual game's about. And like they increase, you know, player base and stuff like that through that. So no, I think Blizzard seems like Plunderstorm was a success. And I think as a community, I think we should probably have a similar opinion, at least, well, maybe not as a community, but I think my opinion of it is that it was a success, even though the only reason I grinded it was because I wanted the transmogs and I didn't actually enjoy the actual mode, but
I liked it. I had fun with it, but I guess I'll say I mostly just duo queued it. So I was playing with friends. Yeah. And then the times that I wasn't was like when they did the double reputation and towards the end. And I was like, well, I don't have that much left to go. So I did some solo queues.
Gotcha.
And just like played around with different builds and things. Figuring out the best way to get reputation in there was not to run around. You know the bait. You start 1v1ing somebody immediately when you land, and then neither of you gets any plunder because you spend the whole like next 10 minutes 1v1ing instead just of killing chasing anything. Each other around. Yeah.
No, that was always a big thing, is avoiding people in early game and then coming back late game. So no, it was cool. And I think Blizzard made really cool adjustments like across the board. Like they didn't just put the mode out and leave it sit there and like,
yeah,
I wouldn't say broken state, but maybe like unbalanced state. They did make some tuning. So no, it's cool. I mean, I'm excited for new stuff coming from the team and new interesting game modes. And we'll talk a little about one that's coming to retail here shortly, but no, it seems like a lot of fun. So
yeah. Speaking of experimental game modes, Cataclysm Classic pre-patch is out on the live servers right now.
Yeah. And so,
oh boy, is it broken.
So it's funny because when I was doing the notes for the podcast, like I was pulling up all the different like blue posts about this, and I was like, there's literally like 10 of them in like the past week. I was like,
yeah,
I'm just going to take the latest one and we can talk about the fact that like there is so many bugs, which is like, it's unfortunate that it launches like this. Like in terms of like, I would say the original Cataclysm, I don't think launched in this bad of state. Now I'm sort of maybe forgetting things. But like, I know
I don't think it was this bad.
No,
I think it was a different class of bugs, like quest bugs and stuff.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of like questing issues and a lot of like a lot of people got stuck places because like they changed the world so much, and sometimes your body didn't get moved because it did a lot of work trying to move people around in the world. So like you didn't end up like at the bottom of Thousand Needles drowning right. to death the next time you logged in, right?
Yeah.
Or like you didn't end up in a mountain because like the barrens changed so much that
right
you're where your current position was now like a huge mountain. So but yeah, it's been, I mean, I feel for Blizzard on this one, but it does seem like they didn't maybe not test. I don't know if it's testing this as best they could or just like assuming it would work.
Firing half their QA people.
Yeah, know? I mean, like reducing the team to the point where like they have to get this out and just not have enough time to test it all. So we'll do it in prod. So
I will say it's kind of a bad look to have stuff like Plunderstorm, to have stuff like the Mop Remix, both the things mm-hmm. that I like, that I'm excited about, and then also have like a flagship classic expansion launch in this state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's kind of a bad look. And like, I know there's like adding more people to a project doesn't necessarily make things go faster, but when you have a huge backlog of like known bugs that you just have to grind through, mm-hmm. there is a degree to which just having more people that, you know, have been working on the same game, right? It's not like it's a different game.
No.
The code base is probably different, but like fixing these bugs, they could help with it. And I mean, I don't know, maybe they have pulled some people in to help with it. I hope they have, because like there's stuff like Blood Presence, aka the tank presence for blood DKs, makes you more likely to get crit.
Yeah.
You know? There was the issue where there's the interaction between Seal of Command, Seal of Wrath, and one trinket from Wrath mm-hmm. that was making paladins just like crash servers, basically. Like it would completely lock up a server, and then when things unfroze, the paladin would be dead. Everything they were fighting would be dead. And it just was doing like millions of DPS as soon as you triggered the bug.
Yeah. Exactly. Even like the children's week stuff was like broken, so like yeah. they had to like extend it. Like archaeology is not working appropriately, I want to say.
Yeah.
Like you can't progress certain like dig sites, will just get stuck.
Yeah.
So
and they don't have at this stage in Classic the ability to reroll dig sites, right? That was a mop addition.
Yeah, that's yeah. So they're just
so if you get a,
what they have.
If you get a bug to dig site, if you get enough bug to dig sites, your profession is just bricked.
Yep. Yeah. So it's just a very poor launch. And so which suck, like, and it's sort of two things at once here. Like it's a pileup because it's a poor launch to an expansion that I will say most people are not very excited to play. Right. Like yeah. in, I would still say this is a sentiment that Cataclysm is probably the, from a community perspective, the worst expansion Blizzard ever put out. I think WoD is potentially close, but like, I think Cataclysm takes the cake, and you basically have them already coming out like, oh, we're releasing the final raid of Cataclysm, like right after the first of the year. So within 6 months from now,
yeah.
we're speed.
They are going to be speed running this expansion.
They're speed running Cataclysm, and it starts like this. So yeah,
I wonder if some of it is like some of the people that would have been working on Cataclysm were kind of like quietly starting on Mists Classic, which is going to be much bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe. I mean, I will say that I think Mists Classic, hopefully it's a slow burn for them, because to be fair, that's yeah. in my mind the best expansion. So like if they yeah, made it the it actual needs, Mists timeline. Except well, maybe without, not the Siege of Orkhammar.
Not the Siege of Orkhammar, like 13 months, 14 yeah. months.
Year long. No content thing, maybe without that, but I'll still yeah. say like it's I hope they keep it slow, but yeah, bad Cataclysm launch. But speaking of bad launches and getting really upset with the game,
season four
here also launched with, I will say, one of the most, like, I'm actually was almost quit, by the way. I almost pinged you and be like, we can't do the podcast anymore because I'm never playing this game again. And so the issue is Blizzard, in all their wonder and smartness, this week was the week you got your second bullion, so you could buy an item from the bullion vendor, and of course, as any good person did, I bought my weapon because it comes from mythic Razageth. I don't think my guild's killing mythic Razageth in a couple weeks now, so I need a weapon. Buy it early on in the day because I'm online, I want to be ready for raid, you know. Took maybe an hour or two off of work to get it done. And then I upgrade that weapon. And I realized that it's going to cost me 4,000 flight stones and a bunch of crests. So I had all my crest saved up. I was like, cool, I'll pound out these 2,000 flight stones and then get right to grinding. So do that, start grinding, do like a couple mythic pluses, and then like an hour or two later, Blizzard comes out and says, oh, we just half the cost of flight stones for all bullion upgrades, but we're not refunding you. So you just wasted 2,000 flight stones to only get your weapon halfway up when it could have cost you 2,000 just to get it all the way to max. And so I literally saw that tweet and like just signed off and told my girl, I'm like, I'm not coming to raid tonight. I'm so angry. Just wasted all my bullions. But yeah, in any event, so Blizzard did basically what they ended up doing was having the flight stone cost for any of the bullion upgrade upgrade items. So
it went from, at least you weren't using that on a legendary.
That is true. That is true. The
way the legendary stuff worked, you buy an upgrade token off of the vendor with your bullion, except the upgrade token didn't work. So that was the first issue. Then they made it work, and that puts it on the awakened like upgrade track. And then that was converting your legendary to an epic.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. So I did not log in right when server. I logged in when servers were up, got told, oh, the legendary thing doesn't even work. So I just logged off and like went to work and mm-hmm. came back. And that evening it was like, oh yeah, it works kind of, but it's still broken. And I was like, I haven't gotten my second bullion yet because I haven't raided this week yet. I'm just not going to. I'm going to wait until they actually fix it. And I got my bullion in normal the next night and then did the up. Well, I messed up. Mm-hmm. I did not save any crests. I went into this week with zero crests.
Not
so
good.
I did a bunch of keys to get the aspect crests I needed. And then in our heroic run, I got enough of the worm crests to, mm-hmm. to upgrade all the way. So, and I didn't get a mythic weapon from last week. So nice. I didn't have like the crest savings from that. So I actually had to pay like full price for upgrading it.
Oh, Jesus.
But okay. Half flight stones. It was still like 3,000 flight stones.
Yeah, I was so angry. But I mean, it's right on Blizzard making the change. I think it makes sense. It's really frustrating to launch like that, right? And I'll say for the mythic, like, because we raid on Tuesdays, like, I guess we have three legendary axes. Like, they were just using the old axe. Like, one of the guys took an upgrade, like a epic upgrade weapon because it was better DPS. Like, it was
we had that last week. One of our warriors was like, well, it's a 524 axe. It's just better than the legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, at that change. So good on Blizzard. I will say there is still one bug out there with bullion items, which is it looks like you cannot use the socket item from your Great Vault on them. So I'm assuming that eventually gets fixed. But for now, you cannot add sockets to any of the bullion items, which... You know, sort
if you
of,
buy like the Aranog ring or the Diana ring, those are the big ones where like you buy those and you can't socket them and that sucks. But also like, what are you doing taking sockets on week two?
Also, what are you doing by the rings that early too? Like I would say like you want a weapon, maybe you get lucky, get your best in slot weapon. So
yeah, there's also like there are if you're using like the Nimue weapon, you can buy that. But if you want like the one of the weapons from you know, Mythic Plus, or you want to get, can you get a Myth track? No, the special weapon, what's his name? Oh my God. The Rock Dragon, Earth Dragon from Dawn of the Infinite.
Oh, his weapon, Iridacron.
You can't get the Iridacron weapon at, Myth track. Not at Myth track. That's hero.
Yeah. It'll be a hero. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it caps at 522, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you probably don't use that. And if you're not using the Nimue staff, then like a Mythic Plus staff, you can't bullion. So like.
Yeah, I guess it depends. But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bullion stuff, still funny. They fixed most of it. Now we just need to be able to socket that stuff. And I think we're good. Yeah. So cool. Then the other thing that came out this week is Blizzard set the release date for 10.2.7, which is the next content patch, coming out May 7th. So that'll be in a couple days from now, 2 days, if you're listening to this live, one day, if you listen to, on the podcast or I guess on the audio version. And so yeah, 10.2.7 is coming out. It is titled Dark Heart, and basically a bunch of like minor, not minor stuff, but a bunch of story stuff. Basically, we'll get the final chapter or the prelude, I guess, or prologue to the War Within. And then also there's some heritage armors for trolls and Draenei if you like to look ugly. And then, of course, the big thing, WoW Remix, the Mists of Pandaria event, is in this patch. However, it does not go live until a week later on May 16th. But this is all the setup for that. And a couple other random things. It's interesting. I did want to bring up one thing from the notes. We typically don't deep dive patch notes like this, but I did just read through them because I was bored. And they're making a large number of changes to the pre-made group finder. And I'm excited about them.
Yeah.
So like just some of the highlights, I think they're adding a bunch of new filtering options. So you can now filter by specific dungeon, if your role is available, if your groups have none of your class already, if there's a tank or healer already, things like that. There's also some role icons now that show you what your role makeup, what the group makeup is at a glance, which is if you use, there's like a weak ore that does this.
Yeah,
too.
This is like pulling in a lot of the features from the various like pre-made group finder weak auras and add-ons that people use. It's in particular stuff like, you know, if you want to search for multiple different dungeons and not just one, like right now you can search for just one. But if you want to do like Neltharis and Brackenhide Hollow, there's not really a way to do that. So this is bringing that in.
Yeah, so that's sort of a nice little feature. And then I think the final thing that just caught my eye was that if you get hard declined from a group, basically they sort all those to the bottom. So like I know some people who who get like who like, you know, trying to pug, you're just applying to any key within your range or like whatever your criteria is, and you start to get some hard declines and you don't realize which group you've already applied to, which you haven't. So yeah, some solid quality of life features come to the group finder. In this one, so then some hunter pet stable stuff, but who plays hunters, man? Who uses hunter step pets? I got my three pets, they're dope. I don't change that often, so but I guess actually, to be fair, the one cool thing, maybe I do care about this, but if you're beast mastery, you can now set, there's now an extra slot on the stable where you can set what pet you want to come out from the animal companion talent. So typically it was the first pet in your stable, the first slot. Now you can just sort of organize however
you can
want.
Actually specify what it is.
Specifically time to like rearrange your stable. So so cool. I think that's most of the news. I don't know if you had anything else.
Do you wanna jump into the Windwalker changes?
Yeah, we could talk through these a little bit. So, of course, we're a day late and a dollar short with this, like I said. So this came out a while ago. This is not new news. If you follow Windwalker on the daily, this is now, I think, a week old, if not more.
Yeah.
but just for the sake of not caring about, not just caring about Mistweaver
and Brewmaster,
we should talk about it. So yeah, so a couple of things. Blizzard put out, you know, when they released, you know, the alpha and we got to see all the talent trees and things like that, they did put out a little bit of a background of their sort of development notes for Windwalker. And so the bigger, two of the big things is they're talking about Tiger Palm and combo strikes. So for Tiger Palm, basically what they said is that they want to make Tiger Palm feel more meaningful to hit versus just being a part of your chi generation rotation. Because traditionally, or historically is the word they use, Tiger Palm is not a huge amount of damage, right? It's just a button you have to press to generate chi and typically to cycle combo strikes, right?
Yeah.
So what they're going to end up doing is trying to increase the damage of Tiger Palm just to add a little bit more reason to hit it. But they're also sort of doing this cautiously.
Because they don't want you just spamming Tiger Palm.
Exactly. So we'll start to see some changes, or there are changes to Tiger Palm in terms of its damage output. And so that's a good change to make the button feel a little bit more meaningful to hit solo or just by itself versus being a part of a larger rotation for you.
Yeah.
And the other big thing that they talked about was combo strikes, which is they're making some changes in terms of what does and does not trigger combo strikes. So the idea of the mastery still stays the same. It's, you know, you get increased damage for hitting a different button than your last damaging ability. And it stacks, you know, I think it's what 8 is the stacks.
Is that stack or is that hit combo?
Oh, that's hit combo. Sorry. Mastery is just doing hitting. Yeah, sorry. I always confuse hit combo and combo strikes.
And yeah, I mean, understandably.
So for combo strikes, what they're going to change is that now Chi Wave and Expel Harm no longer trigger combo strikes for Windwalker monks. Chi Wave makes sense. Chi Wave is what, turning into a passive for them?
Yep.
And then Expel Harm,
I think that's also turning into a passive for them.
Really? It's still, still an active for, I hate monks, man. It's still an active for Mistweaver. So, and I'm assuming for Brewmaster's still
yeah.
an active
button. So. Let's see. Combat Wisdom. What's this talent do? Okay. This is one of their new talents in their new talent tree. Combat Wisdom. While out of combat, this is another one of their new changes. Chi goes to 2 instead of depleting all the way to 0. Mm-hmm. So that, they bring this up in the dev post because they basically are looking to make the opener less awkward, where you have like currently several GCDs getting up to max chi to then go into your Storm Earth Fire with enough chi to like have a good opener. Mm-hmm. So this is going to make that slightly less awkward by giving you more chi to start with at the start of a fight without having to do stuff like, you know, spawn turnips where possible.
Yeah.
But it also gives you every 15 seconds, your next Tiger Palm also casts Expel Harm and deals 30% additional damage. So I don't know if Expel Harm is being made totally passive or if it's just that like they're removing it from it so that this specific trigger does not, you know, do weird things with combo strikes.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think too that the dev post does talk about like they want to make sure that like when you trigger combo strikes, it's from a direct damage ability, which like Expel Harm is damage, but it's like you more use it for like the defensive of it.
I mean,
at least you should use it that way.
For Windwalker, it's really more of a like a cheap Tiger Palm right now.
Yeah.
It's has a cooldown, so you can't spam it, costs less energy, but it gives you a chi. And so you use that kind of rotationally to smooth out chi generation.
Yeah, which makes sense. So yeah, with that change to combat wisdom, you know, allowing you to start the fights with more chi, doing the weird things with Expel Harm, you know, shouldn't be required anymore. The other thing that they're changing to is Storm, Earth, and Fire now trigger or have been added to the list of spells that trigger combo strikes. And so now you don't have to do like don't have to remember what you hit before your cooldown to like make sure you don't ruin the mastery portion of this. So the idea is there, like you can Tiger Palm into Storm, Earth, and Fire and like not worry about, you know, having to Tiger Palm again to get cheated to start your rotation. Yeah. Right.
It'll
be a little bit easier.
You shouldn't be Tiger Palming as your first GCD in SEF, but if you do, it will benefit from mastery.
Exactly.
There's also stuff like if you Rising Sun Kick and then, you know, have to disengage from the boss or whatever, and you come back and you hit SEF, your next Rising Sun Kick will benefit from mastery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, a lot of, I'll say like mechanical, or not a lot of, but some pretty I'll say interesting mechanical changes which will impact the way that you are sort of looking at or the way that you sort of play the spec for sure. So, and it looks like again a lot of these are meant to be right now at least more rotationally impacting, making the spec maybe a little bit less cumbersome, but I think the biggest thing is like Windwalkers need to do more damage in general, so like hopefully these all translate.
Okay, I mean, I guess week one Windwalker was really good. Classic Windwalker memes, right, of no scaling, where like week one they were doing super good damage,
yeah,
and then like this week they're no longer number one.
Yeah, and it's just a slow and steady decline, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, like Vault of the Incarnates is also a raid that has a lot of like 2-target, 3-target kind of cleave scenarios.
Yeah,
that they really benefit from, and also some burst AoE stuff like Diurna and Daffia and Razageth. So there's quite a bit that benefits Windwalker there, and there's not so much of that in Abarus.
Yeah, yeah, much different types of fights. So types of fights. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we'll try, and I will say I'll make a conscious effort to keep up with Windwalker as we go through this alpha cycle, so we won't leave you guys hanging, but.
I make no such promise.
Hopefully the changes look good. I haven't heard Babs yelling. I check the Windwalker, like, you know, mod channels or veteran channels every once in a while, and they seem okay. They seem, the sky is not falling, but
I was giving Babs a hard time because we were both playing Windwalker in our alt raid on Monday last week, and I was beating him, and was giving him a hard time because I was like, I've played Windwalker for like 5 minutes before this because we just like had too many tanks sign up.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, yeah, I haven't played Windwalker this expansion. So I don't know if Babs is, I'm going to give Babs a hard time until he comes on this podcast and like,
yeah, sets the record straight.
Sets the record straight and also fixes the iTunes thing.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll talk offline. I got an update on that. It's weird.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, cool. Well, I think the rest of the time, we got about, 20 minutes here. Yeah. Talk about some of the, maybe the new returning and continued systems, get some thoughts on these. Cause the data dump from when the War Within Alpha did launch is massive. And so there's a bunch of stuff that's coming out. And so we won't spend too much time on all these things. It's sort of just give you guys an idea of what it looks to be, what systems look to be staying with us, going into the War Within. And so I think first up here, we'll start with professions and stuff like that. And we've got the Spark system seems to be continuing, which is a good thing. I like the idea of having the ability to craft an item to fill in a slot, like where it makes sense, right?
Yeah. I
like
the place that crafted items are currently better than they were in S2. We're like in Aberyst, right? Your best in slot was like crafted in every slot except tier.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit that's not so good. But like where it is right now, we're like crafted items are usually not the best, but maybe it can be the best if you like don't have a well statted, you know, bracer or something. And you take the eye level hit to equip one that's perfectly statted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well as just being early eye level bump, so it's useful like in the first several weeks. And then you eventually replace most of your crafted gear with like actual raid loot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. And I think that's always been I will say, and we'll talk about this in a second, the crafted system plus embellishment system gets a little, I don't know if I like those two together, but I will say like the ability to fill in holes in your gear, particularly late in the tier where like we're extending and I never got a set of bracers. And so I can craft a set of bracers that aren't the exact mythic ones I want, but they're, you know, six item levels like lower than what I can get max, but they're still going to be good, right? Or maybe I didn't get anything out of my mythic, you know, my mythic plus box, and I'm sick and tired of running mythic plus, you know, 8 dungeons a week. So
right,
I just craft something to fill in the hole. So yeah. No, I definitely, I'm a fan. I will say not a fan of leveling crafting professions or how they work, but a fan of being able to benefit for them, for the people who figure that system out.
I will say that like the early stuff, this expansion was pretty frustrating, like realizing that I had messed up my leatherworking skill tree, basically. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take too long to fix, right? Like by the next week, I was like, fine.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty frustrating at that moment where it was like, I have no way to fix this. Other than just like, you know, you eventually finish the tree. Like I have every skill unlocked in leatherworking and I've had that for multiple tiers now. So, you know, that makes it less bad. I will say again, like I really just want them to remove inspiration or at least not make it like the only way to craft things without.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. it's way more of like, it's not super annoying for me as a crafter. It is really annoying to like have to explain to people like how to not get scammed. Right. Like we had somebody that did get scammed in our guild because they went to a crafter and were like, the crafter was like, okay, yeah, I can get this. And here's my like inspiration chance to get it. Mm-hmm. And they got inspiration. They went through tons of crafts. This person spent a bunch of mats and they went through a bunch of ones. And then they showed one where they got inspiration. They sent them a screenshot because our guildie was like not believing. They sent them a screenshot on Discord of them getting inspired and not getting like the max rank, which for those that don't know how that system works, inspiration doesn't, it's a fixed amount of stat bonus or skill bonus to the craft. There's no variance on it. If you get inspired, it's inspired. And if you can only inspire to rank 4, you cannot inspire to rank 5.
That's awful.
So, yeah. That was really, really, really toxic.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, we're not going to talk about it today, but just because we talked about a little bit about professions, it sounds like that's going to continue. Like the profession, at least baseline, like systems and trees and stuff like that seems to be continuing. It'll be different, of course. You're not going to, you know, leverage the current trees from what's in Dragonflight, but the idea of having a skill tree related to a profession is something that they seem to be continuing. So,
yeah.
Well, cool. Well, then staying on this sort of idea of crafting things, 3 systems look to be returning that we know and love. Flight Stones, which we just talked about, fucking hate them. Crests are coming back, which I still think is one of the greatest changes they made in Dragonflight, is the crest upgrade system. And then, of course, the Revival Catalyst also coming back.
Yep.
So, you know, I think I don't have anything bad to say about any, like, well, 2 of the Flight 3 Stones. Systems. I don't have anything bad to say. I mean, Flight Stones are, I think it's fine that they're included in it. Like, I'm just kind of memeing a little bit about being upset about the changes. But
crests are a little bit frustrating on alts. Like, you just need so many crests to do upgrades. But then also, like, Flight Stones are basically that. So, like, you run into the same issue with both. I will say that one of the things I'm going to be interested in seeing, like, right now you can, like, every season they've, like, added this Flight Stone thing to, like, transfer Flight Stones from mains to alts. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what the Warband system is going to do to that. Even if it just makes it way less tedious than, like, buying 20 boxes of Flight Stones and then mailing them all to your alt, mm-hmm. and then, like, unpacking all the boxes, even if it's just removing the tedium of doing that, you know. Maybe.
I'm as you're talking, I'm trying to look up. I thought I read something, and maybe I'm just crazy, about the fact that, like, crests, something was going to transfer down to your alts in the War Within, or your Warband in the War Within. But
yeah, I would be shocked if it were crests, because those are, like, the gear. But maybe they do stuff like, you know, the crest thing. Like, when you get the like, you're done with Worm Crests achievement, maybe that'll be, like, account wide or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, to be fair, the way that I don't know if they could do it something like this, but, like, the ability to just have, like, the crest cost reduced across your warband based on, like, the level of item you have equipped on a main, right? Yeah. Would be nice. But no, they're all 3 are returning. I'm joking a little bit. I think they're fine to return. We'll see how much we talk about this in the future, about crest being the upgrade stuff, if that starts to get a little bit old, but it's a cool system. So
yeah. I mean, I still think it's working pretty well.
Yeah.
Right. We've had it for 3 tiers now, and the main complaint is just the amount of flight suits.
Yeah. Yeah. That part of the grind feels rough, we'll say.
Yeah. There's also, so we have new embellishments, and I think, like, the main thing right now is just we know the embellishments are returning, mm-hmm. because most of these have placeholder text.
Yeah.
And yeah. I looked through the ones that don't have placeholder text, and honestly, there's nothing super interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I think the main thing is, like, we know, like, crafting is mostly coming back as it was at Dragonflight, including embellishments, including sparks, and all that stuff. So far, seems like we're keeping, basically, systems that worked in Dragonflight are persisting into the War Within, which like they've been making a lot of noise about wanting to, like, make evergreen systems, and that is what this is. Mm-hmm. Also means that, like, all the time that people put into learning how, like, crafting works, which is a pretty complicated system now, in Dragonflight that knowledge transfers to War Within. Although, mm-hmm. again, hopefully they do something about inspiration being the only way to get anything crafted.
Yeah. 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 Crafting of a set of systems in Dragonflight has been one of the highlights for me, in terms of new stuff that they brought. So, staying sort of in this profession mindset, WoW did do a bunch of data mining and pulled back kind of a list of all the new consumables that are out there. And so, like, I didn't want to touch on all of them because I think it's we don't need to talk about everything, but like, for example, for alchemy, you get the standard cauldrons are coming back, both for potion and flasks. You have your stat flasks, you have your interesting flasks that do special things. Potion wise, you have the same set of potions. There's your health potions, mana potions, drink or sleep pots, or, you know, drinking mana potions, things like that. But they are bringing back what looks to be interesting is they're bringing back weapon sort of oils. It looks like, at least in terms of the actual oil. So those are going to be more caster focused potentially. They did data mine a whetstone, which traditionally whetstones were like the physical damage dealer version of a mana oil or like a wizard and like, oil.
If you go back in like classic, right, you have your whetstones, your weight stones, your wizard oil, your like, what's the other like healer oil, mana oil, that's
mana
it, right?
Oil, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have like one for each of those, and like right now we have a very simplified version of that in Dragonflight where you have your runes. You have like the howling rune, the hissing rune, the buzzing rune, and they just give a stat bonus. Mm-hmm. And they don't care what kind of weapon you're putting it on. So these are more akin to the classic system where like a whetstone maybe is specific to the bladed weapons. And there's potentially a weight stone. I haven't actually looked for a weight stone yet. Maybe I'm talking crap, but.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but But yeah, I think it's cool to bring back some of these additional consumables. Like I will say playing Classic, that's the one thing that I always found interesting is they care so much more about you having consumables than in retail.
One of the things, like when I was doing Wrath beta testing and you could make like a pre-made character and like go and like buy some stuff off of vendors for raid testing. So much of the power budget of those items is in enchants and gems.
Yeah.
Like your enchants, your gems, your consumables is such a huge portion of your player power compared to retail.
Mm-hmm.
It is so different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wildly different. But I'm cool. It's cool to see this stuff coming back. I think it gives some of these professions a more like steady stream of consumables they can create. Right.
Yeah.
Because like, although I mean, I don't think enchanting really needs any help in terms of consumables need to make, but the oils are on the enchanting side. And then blacksmithing, of course, will get the weight stones and weight stone or wet stones and weight stones if they have them. The other thing sticking sort of in the enchanting world is there was some data mined kiss curse enchantments. So essentially the idea was you gain a curse. So let's say you gain versatility, but when you gain that versatility, you sap or remove mastery, right?
Right.
Which I don't know if I like. I guess it's going to depend on the combination, right? It's going to depend on what you gain versus what you lose if it actually becomes good for you.
The only one of these that I don't like is Cursed Haste, which is gives you a bunch of haste at the cost of a bunch of versatility. Now. Mm-hmm. Versatility, of course, has two effects. One of them is the damage, and one of them is the damage reduction. So this is making you directly take more damage in exchange for that haste. And that's one where I'm like, all right, maybe not that one. Maybe none of these gives you negative verse.
Yeah.
Or like maybe they can not impact versatility damage reduction, right? Something like that. I will say, like right now, Brewmaster would run double cursed critical strike.
Oh,
and
just really?
Be like even if I'm not familiar with the behavior of haste rating below zero, mm-hmm. like you can hit it right now in Dragonflight by using the slime boots.
Okay.
And just not having any other haste on your gear. Like I had negative haste for a while in Avaris. And it was just a tiny amount, like negative, you know, 50, something like that. Mm-hmm. Enough that it, you know, highlighted some bugs in WoW Analyzer and not so much that it actually like did anything impactful, but like this is one like Brewmaster just doesn't want haste, even if this is actually like making your cooldowns longer by like a small percentage, you still take it. I'm pretty sure.
That's wild. That's funny. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Like you said, I don't like the whole kiss curse thing. I will, you know.
Yeah.
we'll see if we'll see exactly what how this plays out. To be fair, it is a large number of stats when you compare it to like the other enchants you get you can get. So I'm it doesn't say this says to permanently infuse, right? So I'm wondering if this is a permanent stat gain and stat loss, or if it's Blizzard tooltip writing it, it's actually like proc based. But it doesn't seem like that. It seems like it's
permanent. It doesn't have any like proc
like trigger like,
associated with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or any like I think I looked at the spell data. There's nothing really related, at least when I took a look. So we shall see. And wrapping up, maybe the final thing. There may be a couple of these, but the final thing I found interesting was these potion bombs. So there was data mined potion bombs, basically one of power, one of recovery, and then one of speed. And basically what these allow you to do is they're created by engineering. You can throw the bomb on the ground, and then up to five allies that are in this sort of ground effect, I'm assuming that you're throwing it at, gain something. So if it's potion of power, they gain primary stat. If it's recovery, they gain increased healing received. And then speed is, of course, increased movement speed, which is cool, I think. Like, these are interesting new ways of, like, you know, supporting your group. We'll see if they actually – they probably eat your potion timer. So it,
they do eat your potion timer. That's part of the patch notes for this.
Oh, okay.
Potion bombs to do the potency of the buff is divided by five, even if fewer than five targets are hit. So, like, you're getting – like if you use the potion to power, that's like taking your potion buff and splitting up the power of that between five people.
Yeah.
And basically the benefit you're gaining is that it also does some damage by itself. It's going to be interesting to see whether this is worth it anytime, because like, if you ever miss somebody with this, it's clearly not, basically.
It's clearly not worth it, so you have to have five people, and then, like, I wonder if... I guess you would want to make... you'd want to basically... I guess you'd have to map this out, right? But you'd want to understand, like, what is the gain of those four other people, assuming you hit yourself, getting hit by this versus like you your individual gain? Like, is it better than...
Like, I can see this being a really toxic thing where you have something like an Unholy Decay or an Arcane Mage where it's very bursty and the meta becomes, you know, like stack all of your melee in a pile and then... or not even stack all your melee in the pile, but like all of your melee just throw their potion bombs at your Unholy Decay to give them a huge stat infusion, and then the Unholy Decay just uses a regular potion.
And like the power one lasts for 30 seconds, so it's just like that's a... I guess that's what the same as a prolonged power potion now. So but yeah, then the other way that you can look at this too is like, is this now become the old... I don't know if you played Burning Crusade, but there used to be what they call drums rotations.
Yes.
Where like each you'd have to basically have five leather workers in the group, and you'd each one person would hit drums, and then like once that got over, the next person was you basically cycling through the five. Does it become a sort of cycle piece like this to just maintain the additional stats like permanently, right?
Yeah. I don't think they last long enough for that, because like if you have five of them,
actually, 30 seconds each. That's only 2.5 minutes. So it's you get half the time with it. But still, like to be fair, at boss fights today, like you don't have a 2.5 minute duration where you're just connected to the boss.
I guess it depends as well on like, are these, do they stack with themselves? Like in the Unholy Decay example that I was going through, that's assuming that like if you get hit by multiple potion pops, you get multiple buffs. And maybe it tries to do this like smart thing where it doesn't give the same person buffs if there are other eligible targets, but you can just work around that by having the Unholy Decay stand by themselves.
Exactly.
And if they do enough, like whatever the burstiest class, if the burstiest class gains enough from getting a fifth of the stats compared to you, then like it's better for you to put it on them. And that's really ick.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think we need to see how this all tunes out and how it actually works. But I like the idea. I like the weirdness of it. But I don't like the potential toxic behavior that may start manifesting itself from the way we use these. So, well, cool. I guess there was one final thing, because people are going to probably bring this up, but drums are coming back. So drums make their return, of course.
I mean, there are drums now.
There are?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think they were. I didn't think they were good, though.
Oh, they're not.
Oh, okay, okay. So these are the good drums. Like these are like.
Oh, these are like full value drums.
I think, well, they're 15%. What is it? What is Bloodlust? 20 or 25? 30. Oh, it's half.
It's half, and that's what current drums are—is half.
Oh, so that's not that great. For whatever reason, no one ever. Oh, I guess because it's so bad, no one ever says I'll bring drums. Yeah. Okay, disregard me then. I thought drums.
Yeah, I carry drums around because like they're actually really cheap to make if you just have a bunch of material lying around.
Okay, fair enough.
There's like four different recipes for them. I mean, you can just like, I just have random materials. I'm not bothering to sell like rank one materials. They don't scale off of the quality that you craft them or anything like that. So you just make the base one and it with like cheap materials that nobody wants, and then you have drums.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay, so I'm an idiot. I just, for whatever reason, I thought drums were not in Dragonflight, but
just that nobody really uses them.
Yeah, no, like, I've never seen anybody be like, I'll use drums. It's like every group that I'm in, or like anytime we do it, it's always,
it's either you have lust or you're not lusting.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think then in my mind, it's the oils, and then those new potion bombs are like the two, I think, new consumables coming in that look pretty cool. I guess the Kiss Curse enchantments, but
yeah.
I'm not a fan of those either.
Potion bombs are going to be interesting. And like, there's potentially some stuff they could do where it's, maybe it's not just a stat buff. Maybe it does something else. Like they've got ones that like increase healing received that I don't think anybody would really ever use. Movement speed, which I could see using, because that gives you like a mini roar.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could see that having some value. Roar is good. Mini roar, not as good, but you know, I could see it.
Yeah. I think, too, it'll depend on, like, group comps and stuff like that, or, like, maybe there's, like, a specific thing in Mythic Plus where you want to, you don't, druids are just bad for somehow, right? And, like, shamans are non-existent, typical, so.
You know what I want to see?
What's that?
Potion Bomb of Invisibility.
I always have invis pots on me, but, like, every time I'm in a group, someone's always like, I don't have invis pots. I'm like,
exactly. Dude. Exactly.
Dude. They're so useful.
Potion Bomb of Invisibility. Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm gonna put that in the feedback.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think that's going to be it for our show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to yell at Babylonius about not playing Windwalker.
100%. Dude 100%. Doesn't even know what's going on.
Yep. You heard it here first. Go yell at Babs. But yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.